Every praise to my God. Dry bones becoming as flesh. Oh, and these are the days of your servant David rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. Days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming his flesh. Oh, and these are the days of your servant David rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. Oh, the fields are as wide in your world, and we are the laborers in the vineyard, and we need to declare.
Come on.
just thinking, what if we all just said, there's no God like Jehovah?
Right. Yeah.
What if we, as in unison, as Brother Ralston was teaching our class this morning, we could get in unison and just say, there's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.
And worship Him for a moment. Hallelujah. Take some time to magnify the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice. We rejoice. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We love You, Lord. We magnify Your name. Hallelujah. While the presence of the Lord is here, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Beth and I visited with Sister Marcia and told her we'd be praying for her today and have special prayer. And she's in the hospital and just needs help from the Lord, not only in her body, but just spirit and soul as well. She's been through a long, long ordeal. And we just need the Lord to come to her. And one touch of the Lord's power, I know can turn the situation around and can turn whatever negative report into a positive report. I know that's the God that we serve. Amen. So let's pray for Sister Marcia this morning and in a special way. Someone else. You want the church to pray? Sister Patty? All right. Remember Sister Patty's father. He had heart surgery, and we just believe in the Lord to give him a complete recovery. Brother John? All right. Brother Mike? All right. Remember Sister Carolyn Hutchison as well. Brother Gene? All right, remember them if you would, Brother Leroy. All right, remember Elton if you would, Sister Pam. All right, let's remember this request, Brother Wayne. All right, remember this. Any others as we go to the Lord in prayer? Sister Joanne? All right, remember this if you would. Amen. Let's pray one for another. Let's remember these that have been requested prayer for. Kind Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. We thank You, Lord, for Your mercy. We thank You for Your grace, another day that You've given to us. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to come into Your house, to worship You, to love You, and magnify Your name. Thank You for Your faithfulness, Your spirit, Your grace in our lives. Father, we lift up Sister Marcia right now in prayer, Lord. We ask You to touch her body. Lord, one touch, one healing touch, oh God. I know she can be made whole. God, give her strength, Lord. Give her comfort. Give her grace, oh Lord, to be with her every hour, every step of the way. God, I know you promised you'd never leave us. You promised you'd never forsake us. Oh, God, I pray, Lord, you'd touch her right now by your power, by your grace, and by your mercy. Do it, Lord. Do it, oh, God. We stand on your word, your promises that are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. The other requests that were made known today, Sister Hutchison, the Davises, Lord. Elton Morgan, Lord, Brother John's request, his uncle. God, we come to you right now in prayer and believing, Lord. We know that you're able. We know that you're able. Lord, Buddy Clayton, we pray for him today. God, we pray for those that are in this service that need healing in their body. Do it, Lord. Father, we'll be quick to give you the praise and all the glory. Touch every heart, touch every life today as we seek to glorify your name. We magnify you, we love you, we thank you. Our hearts are full of the praise of God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' wonderful, wonderful name. And all God's people said, amen. Take a couple of moments. Turn around, shake your neighbor's hand. Step across the aisle if you would. Amen. Welcome all our guests in. Deacons, help me this morning, if you would, as we receive our tithes and offerings. Amen. God bless you for your faithfulness to the house of the Lord. Amen. God bless each and every one of you as we give today as unto the Lord. Amen. Bless you for your faithfulness. Amen. Brother David Miller, lead us to the Lord in prayer, if you would, please. Amen. Sister Rachel, Sister Robin, come on, sing for us. If you would, while they're coming, good to see the Goffs with us today again. Good to have them with us in the house of the Lord. And Josh, good to see you and your family back in the house of the Lord today. Let's let them know we're glad to have them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Tiffany is one of our faithful Mixler listeners, but I like her better in person, being in the house of the Lord. So welcome today, and we trust the Lord will bless their family. And Josh came to, I think it was the wild game dinner back in early part of the year. So Brother John, appreciate his influence and friendship with the Gibbs family, and just glad to have him in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Good to have in his very, very first service Asher Middleton with us, Asher Reed. And Sister Alyssa or Brother Shane, whoever's holding him, I can't tell. Somebody stand and let everybody get a good look at Asher. He wanted to come make his appearance today. So, amen. Praise the Lord. We're just thanking the Lord for a healthy baby. Amen. Praise the Lord. Appreciate the Middleton family and appreciate them being with us in the house of the Lord today. Revival starting Wednesday night. Amen. Revival starting Wednesday night, Brother and Sister Spurlock will be with us, and Brother Jeremy Spurlock, what a wonderful preacher, and what a wonderful family, and you're going to be blessed. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and all day Sunday, all right? So that's the best we could get done. I'm prevailing upon Brother Spurlock. Tomorrow and Tuesday, we have our PFYC board meeting, so pray for us. The Lord will just help us as we make decisions regarding next year. But Brother Brim's flying in later tonight, Brother Israel, Brother Webb, and then Brother Spurlock will all be down in my part of the country. Instead of making me go north, just they're coming south, so they don't seem to mind that. They love coming down to the ocean, and so we're looking forward to a good time. fellowship as well as planning and seeking after the Lord. So if you would, be ready for revival. Sister Marcia had some things ready, and I think she's already talked to a lot of you about the welcome basket and things. So whatever you were planning to get, instead of giving it to Sister Marcia, give it to my wife, and she's going to take care of the basket in Sister Marcia's stead, all right? So I told Sister Marcia yesterday we'd hold it down so she can get back. But whatever you were planning on doing, just go ahead and get that done and give it to Sister Beth if you would, all right? God bless you. Let's worship the Lord today.
It binds and it holds. Satan will try to abolish your soul. There's only one hope for your destiny, and that one hope is found when you're down on your knees. When I melt, the blood fell. Sin lost the battle, the
blood fell.
lost the battle.
For the Lamb, he had prevailed.
What made all hell tremble? It rained heaven's bells. Oh, when I knelt, the blood
him. Let's thank him for the blood. Worship him. Glory to God. One can wash away our sins. Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ah, we love you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless your name. Bless your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Friend, if you're saved and on your way to heaven today, it is through the blood of Jesus. Amen. The blood of Jesus plus nothing. Amen. Amen. It's not the blood of Jesus plus water baptism. It's not the blood of Jesus plus works. It's not the blood of Jesus plus speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. It's the blood of Jesus Christ plus nothing. Amen. And Ephesians 1 and 7 says, in him we have the forgiveness of sins. Thank God. Hallelujah. If you're forgiven today, it's through Jesus and his blood. Thank God. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me this morning to the book of Ephesians chapter number 4. I want to read the first 6 verses of Ephesians chapter number 4. Amen. Appreciate you being in the house of the Lord today. And I want to read these 6 verses of Ephesians chapter number 4. And I may do a little preaching maybe near the end, but today, of course, is 20 years ago today. Well, not today, but the first Sunday in October, October the 5th, 1997, is when Brother Addis allowed me to become pastor. And so I want to kind of do a perspective look just maybe back over the last 20 years and some of the things that God has done, some of the people that I miss, some of the people that we've had to say goodbye to, and some of the things that God is doing right now and things that God is going to do. Amen. And I believe the church is in good shape and the Lord's helping us, and I'm excited to see what God has in the future. Amen. And I hope you're as excited to be part of it as I am. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 1, if you have it, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Verse 3, this verse has guided me many, many times. I've prayed this prayer more times than I can count. As a pastor, it's been my guiding prayer and sentiment that we would work, endeavoring, work at it, labor at it, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Amen. God bless you as you're seated today in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I just want to take a few moments to really celebrate the goodness of God over the last 20 years. I don't normally do things such as what today is, but I have a profound desire not only to praise God for the past and celebrate what God has done, but I also want to challenge this generation and those subsequent years to come that you'll remember what God has done and not worship the past, but build on the past. And a lot of people become unbalanced and unhinged because they worship the past so much that it's almost as if you could never match the past. But I pray that what God has done would cause us to be excited about what God is getting ready to do in the future. And we would build on that and be excited about that. But as I said, 20 years ago today, or the first Sunday in October is when God allowed me to become the pastor. Somebody asked me recently, why did I choose Savannah to become a pastor? Well, to be honest, it was the first church that asked me to be pastor, and I wasn't for sure if there would be another. So anyway, it was the first church, and so as I told them at Brother Savage's, I'm still a rookie. I just happen to be 20 years a rookie on the same job. So I pray the Lord will just continue to give us grace and guidance. And as I talked to Brother Addis this morning and just thanking him for the influence that he had in my life. And as I told him, it'd be great if this is the only church that I ever get to pastor. It'd be fine with me. But whatever God's will is for all of our lives, I'm going to know we're subjected to that. But just a few stories I want to share, and that is when God changed my heart. I was raised in a pastor's home. Of course, my dad is here today. I was raised in a preacher's home, and raised in a pastor's home specifically. Therefore, I didn't want a pastor because I was raised in a pastor's home. I was evangelizing, and I was pulling a truck and trailer, and I was loving them and leaving them on a weekly basis. And so life was good. People were bringing us food. We were using somebody's electricity. People were bringing offerings. They were excited to be in revival. And I knew the mundane that sometimes come with pastoring. So I wanted to keep right on evangelizing and do what I was doing. But we were headed to a youth camp to preach in northern Ohio, and it's hard for you young folks to get this, but I'm so old, it was before the days of cell phones. And so I stopped by my dad's house on the way to preach that youth camp, and he said there was a message to call Brother Addis. He was in Savannah. And so I called Brother Addis, and I'm talking to him, and he's going to preach a meeting, and he's wanting me to come in and fill in for him because I had never been to Savannah, and I didn't meet Brother Butler until just a few weeks before his death. If I was in a service with him, I don't remember through the years, but I met him really on his deathbed in the living room there, and met Sister Butler, and it was Brother Addis and Sister Addis, and I remember it was almost like going to meet the Pope because Brother Addis checked my attire, make sure my suit was right, my tie was right, and we were getting ready to go. Brother Travis, we were getting ready to go meet Brother Butler. I met Brother Flanders coming in that night. He had crab stew, and so that was my first introduction. Somebody say praise the Lord, Brother Otis. That was my first introduction to crab stew. And but Brother Addis, while I was talking to him, and he was going to preach somewhere else, he asked me to come and fill in. Beth come down the stairs at my dad's house, and she said, what does Brother Addis want? And I remember saying, well, he asked me to come in and fill in for him. He's going to preach, and back then it was Friday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Friday night, so I was really going to preach a revival. It just didn't count. It was five services in a week. And I said, but I don't know how, and I don't know when, but I really feel like we're going to be moving to Savannah. And she started laughing. She about like some of you thought when I first came, you know, but it was God changed my heart that quick. It was just that clear. I didn't know the particulars. I didn't know the timing of it, any of that. But I knew I had two trailer deals working right now. Beth was expecting Grant, and I planned on being an evangelist. But I'm telling you, one phone call, it changed it, and it left the desire to evangelize, and I knew everything was changing at that moment. And so just as time began to move on, we came with Brother Addis. My first service was with Brother Addis December as an official preacher of the church here. I preached revival here, of course, in November. But of 96, but with Brother Addis, it was Watch Night 1996, and Brother Addis didn't understand, a lot of people in the South don't have watch night services. And so, number one, they don't come. And number two, they don't know what to expect when they do come. And so he started at 7:30 on Friday night. If anybody knows anything about watch night services, you never start at 7:30. That gives you 4.5 hours to get to midnight. And that was the goal, to get to midnight. And so we started that watch night service, and I preached for a while. And then Brother Mike Miles was here. He preached that night. Everybody sang, some sang twice, and we still got out by 9:30. And I've never had a desire to have a watch night service since then. I was raised with them, but that was my first service, watch night service. The following Sunday, Brother Mark took us out to eat. Brother Mark and Sister Janice took us out to eat, and we went to Love's Seafood. And so I got to tell the story, because there was a technology change going on in that time, and that was debit cards were coming around. Instead of writing paper checks, you got to use your debit card. Well, lo and behold, Brother Mark took us to Love Seafood, and wonderful meal, and grateful for it. And he pulled out his checkbook, and he started to write a check, and they said, I'm sorry, we don't take checks anymore. And he didn't have cash, and he was dead in the water at the counter. He could not pay. So I had to bail him out that first Sunday. And man, he brought the money back that night. He was embarrassed. It was so humorous. It was almost as humorous as eating at Sister Carol Burson's house. She was one of the first ones that had us over, and we were over on the house on Bush Road, and man, she's nervous, making sure everything's right or whatever, and she did a marvelous meal. She knew I liked Pepsi, Brother Johnny Barnes, she knew I liked Pepsi, so she provided the Pepsi. The only problem was she didn't put any ice in the Pepsi, in the glass, and so we had the whole meal, and I drank the Pepsi, and she come over near the end, she said, there's no ice, and so it's always been a point of reminder to her that one of my first impressionable meals in Savannah was at Sister Carol's house. But I want to thank the church for the opportunity to be pastor, because not many churches, through Brother Addis's influence, would allow a 26-year-old man to start pastoring. And when I look around at some of these young guys that are going to be pastoring in a few years, God help them, you know. And so I want to encourage them today. There's some stories I tell them in class I never tell from the pulpit, so I will make that disclaimer today. Sister Addis' advice to me, and I asked Brother Addis how he was doing today. Now, these were his words. He said, I'm doing good for an old codger. I would never call him that. That's what he called himself. But I asked him if he's still cutting grass. He said, of course. And I asked him if he's still shooting any animals, and he said that probably wouldn't be a good idea. He's kind of shaky nowadays, so he don't shoot too many animals anymore. But Brother and Sister Addis, here's her advice. I'll never forget, as long as I've got my right mind, when they were getting ready to leave. My only request for him was, he didn't want a pastor. He didn't like ever being the bad guy. And sometimes pastoring, there's always somebody a little bit sideways with you. He had evangelized all those years. And so really, the first weekend in 97, that first Sunday, a little something happened, and he said, you ready, take it, go. No. I'm like, man, I don't even know their name, I don't know the addresses, I don't know the way around, so you got to stay a little while. I made him pledge to me, the only promise I made him make to me was this: do not leave in the middle of the night without telling the church. Don't leave a sticky note on the door somewhere and be gone, because I knew he wanted to go, and I was afraid that's exactly what he was going to do. But Sister Addis' advice, and I quote, Sonny boy, don't let it hit rock bottom before you call us back. I thought, man, thanks for the vote of confidence. Then I wondered, was I just the first guy they got to come, and they were bailing? They didn't care who it was. It could have been Donald Duck. They were out. As long as they got somebody in, they were gone. Don't let it hit rock bottom before you call us back. I reminded her about that a few times, and thankfully I called them back, but it was never because I thought it was on rock bottom. But somebody asked me recently, how many weddings? I counted them up. I don't know, 25 or 30 weddings, 55 to 60 baby dedications, over 75 funerals from the church. And if I'm not going to read the list entirely, but Brother Ben Cribbs, he was the first one that I buried. Anybody remember Brother Ben Cribbs? He lived out by where Sister Gail did and Brother Inman. And so I remember meeting Inman after visiting with Sister Gail, going to see Brother Cribbs out on the water. Brother and Sister Chavis, Brother and Sister Glisson, Brother and Sister Polk. Brother David Miller is still a deacon. I want to thank him. Of course, I've got wonderful deacons that have replaced these, but Brother Chavis, Brother Glisson, and Brother Polk were three of the men that allowed me to become pastor, and so I'm still indebted to them. I still think of them. I still think of them often and miss them. Sister Shipes, Brother Jerry, Sister Purefoy, Brother and Sister Rustin, Sister Beard, Brother Gay, Brother and Sister Sandy Spikes, Brother and Sister Jerome Davis, Brother and Sister Flanders, Brother and Sister Jack Davis, Brother and Sister Roanne Turner, Sister Grace Fairclough, Sister Betty Edenfield, Sister Edna Butler, Sister Gail Hagen, Brother and Sister Hayes, Brother and Sister Sharp, Brother and Sister A.G. Salter, Brother Lanier Hutchison, Sister Lala Hutchison, Brother Boyd Moy, Brother and Sister George Myers, Brother Theron Morris, Sister Joy Myers, Sister Newman, Sister Powell, Brother Schreider, Brother Stapleton, Brother Mauling, Sister Barnard, Sister Woods, Sister Gunnard, Brother and Sister Jean Thompson, Brother Billy Green, Brother Chester Sheffield, Senior, Sister Laura Sheffield, Brother and Sister Elton Rowe, Sister Thelma Rowe, Sister Grace Turner, Brother and Sister Williams, Brother Robert Simons, Brother Thomas Cohn, Sister Linnell Tilton, Sister Sally Smith, Sister Flora Kersey, Little Paige Drosty, Sister Katie Duck, Sister Doris Hayslip, Sister Elizabeth Sykes, Brother Ray Edwards, the Alcott family, Nell Hansford, Ricky Salter. We've said goodbye to a lot of folks in 20 years, and that's why heaven's going to be a marvelous, marvelous place. Amen. A lot of those have gone on to their reward, and if they're able today, how many of those they'd be cheering us on? Just like from Hebrews, there is a great cloud of witnesses. Amen. There's a great cloud of witnesses that have finished their race, and the Lord said, well done. And but their influence lives on in our lives today. And very rarely does the church ever go through something as traumatic as a relocation, a fire burning, the loss of the founding pastor of 53 years, and keep it together and then rebuild. Statistically, I'll tell you, that's my area of research. It's less than 1%. It's less than 1%. More times than not, the church would be sold off. The church would be out of business. The church would do something else. But I just stand today, and I really do, with my heart full of gratitude and thanks to God that we have a church, a thriving church, a worshiping church, a shouting church, a church that's doing a work for God in this last hour. Amen. Why don't you give the Lord a wonderful praise? Thank God. Amen. And I say this in class a lot. I'll say it publicly to these young preachers. A lot of them are going to follow men that were older and were there for a long time. And you have never heard me utter privately nor publicly one negative word about Brother Addis or Brother Butler and the work they did. I've tried to build on their work. And young men, I'll tell you, God will bless you. God will bless you if you'll go in and try to build on another man's work. And build on the generations before you. It's not a competition, but you go in and do the work of the Lord. And God has certainly blessed us with some wonderful events. Let me give you, this is my perspective, the 10 most significant events that have happened in the last 20 years. And I realize for you personally, some things might have happened that's hard to quantify, but these events are things that can be assessed. It's things that we can see, things that we can quantify, that we know that God has done for the glory of the Lord. When I first came, the church was about $200,000 in debt, just a little bit less than that, but right at $200,000 in debt because of the relocation and things of that nature. How many remember me getting up with that thermometer on Sunday mornings once a month, and we'd mark the red line higher and higher and higher, and in about 2 years, we paid off that $200,000 in debt. And honestly, that was a turning point because it created momentum. It created hope. It was people seeing God's hand still upon us. Sister Sharp and her fruitcakes. How many fruitcakes did she make in that 2 years? Some of you have that picture of the church, the painting of that Armstrong artist, the Armstrong artist that painted that picture of the church, and we sold those for $100 or $200 or whatever the offering was. And all of that went to the indebtedness. And then in 1999, when Brother Ralph Horton came for that homecoming revival, we were able to burn that note on that Sunday morning. And it was God just creating that momentum and that turning point. And so I appreciate it. It's been a significant event, paying off that debt, getting that debt eliminated and removed. Those of you that were here at that time know we were landlocked. We had no land except what we had already pretty much occupied with blacktop or a building. And so we needed some land. And Mr. Grizzard, next door, Mr. Paul Grizzard, who has been a great friend to the church through the years, was being approached time and time again by the Lutheran church. And the Lutheran church wanted to build a church right there. And they stopped. They had cash money. So they sent some of their organizational officials down, knocking on, would not stop incessantly trying to get that land. So Mr. Grizzard finally one day said, "I'm going to sell the land." He walked past those organizational officials, walked across the field, and come over and knocked on my office door and said, "If you want the 6 acres, I'll sell it to you. Here's what I'll sell it to you for." So in 2000 or thereabouts, God opened up that 6 acres next door to us, and we were able to give him what he wanted down, and then he even financed money for us, interest-free for a couple of years, so we could pay that land off. And so we went from 6 acres to 12 acres, and we just rejoiced and thanked God, because we didn't look like we would ever. Anybody knows anything, and I'll say this publicly, so if you say it privately to him, he'll laugh, but there's a reason why Mr. Grizzard has as much land that he does in Chatham County. He does not sell land, and he'll say this: God's not making any more of it, so if you got it, you better keep it. He doesn't sell land, but God moved on his heart and gave us that land, and we were able to acquire. And so I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for that. In 2000, 2001, that was accomplished. The fellowship hall. Young folks, again, some of you, I'm doing this so you remember what God has done for us. The fellowship hall originally was barely past where that support is in the fellowship hall. You look back at some of the old pictures, it looks like the fellowship hall is packed. That's because it's about half what it is now. And so in 2003, we went through an extensive remodeling project where we tripled the kitchen, put in the cooler, the walk-in freezer, doubled the seating, and we were able to do that with cash money and paid for that as we went through. And so that was 2003. One of the great achievements, I believe, in my tenure here has been growing BCA into the school that it is today. We've transitioned from ACE to Abeka. We went from 30 kids to 132 students this year and went through the process 3 times of state accreditation. And so the budget is more probably 15 or 20-fold from what it was. And so I want to thank all the former staff. I want to thank all the former teachers. I want to thank the current roster of teachers, everybody that had a hand in growing BCA into what it is today. We just give the Lord praise and glory for that. The fifth most significant achievement was the building of the Life Center in 2008. And the gymnasium and the school building, again, we paid cash for that as we built that building. That may have taken years off my life, honestly, trying to be the general contractor on that thing, dealing with the state and the fire marshals and things like that. But we got through it, and we paid money, cash money, as we built that building. Got done in 2009. The remodeling of the sanctuary, the foyer, the church bathrooms in 2011, 2012. I thank the Lord for that. The adult Sunday school class, to me, it's a significant project. They remodeled the kitchen. They remodeled the fellowship hall bathrooms. And so I appreciate them taking that on and doing that. Obviously, one of the most significant events was the 34 acres that came available in 2012. When I was going to preach for Tracy Holden, Changing Plains in Dallas, Beth called and said I had a message from a Mr. Olin Wooten. And it was a handwritten note stuck on our door that said he owned the land next door to the church and he wanted to sell it to us. I called him, and he was a fast-talking timber farmer that was hard to understand. But I heard he had the land. I heard what he wanted to sell it for, and I said, if the deacons don't want to buy it, I'll buy it. And so 34 acres next door to us. That's an absolute miracle of God. We tried, Brother Pertell will tell you, we tried through the years, the banks, we tried, it went through foreclosure, several banks had it. We'd whisper a number to them and they'd come back with some giant number that we didn't even want to think about. So then we'd say, well, maybe we get a little flag, a little sliver, a little this or some buffer. And it's just amazing to me that God gave us that land in 2012 for about a third what it was financed for just a couple of years before that to build apartments. And I don't get tired of looking at that land and not only looking at it, but knowing it's paid for. We don't owe a penny on it. And I just thank God. I just thank God for that. And so in conjunction with that, to me, one of the most significant events, you may not agree with this, but for me it is, that was the beginning of the Thanksgiving offerings in 2013. 2013, we started the first Thanksgiving offering. I will not take time to rehearse what all led up to that event. But in 2013, you gave $20,000. We bought a van and re-roofed the church parsonage. 2014, you gave $147,000. We paid off that land. That land was worth $1.2 million, and we've got it paid for. 2015, you gave $51,000, and we put a new roof on the church from the front all the way to the end of the Sunday school areas. $35,000 was given last year, and we updated the technology and the Wi-Fi thermostats and things of that nature. And so that offering, if I drop dead tomorrow, that Thanksgiving offering, I really feel like it has changed the culture. And I this is my prayer. You know, everybody wants something to outlive them and do something that outlives their lifespan. Not only preaching an everlasting gospel, but that Thanksgiving offering, I would for years and decades to come, who's ever in this pulpit would be able to go back and say, in 2013, in 2014, in 2015, in 2025, in 2032, in 2047, and it just becomes a bigger and a more powerful tool in the hands of God that we celebrate the goodness of God. Amen. The 10th most significant event, and I'll be done here in just a second and out of your way, was the starting of Heritage Seminary in 2014, and what a privilege, what an opportunity that as a church body we have the ability to invest in the lives of these students. Amen. Amen. So let me give you three challenges to this generation, not just the preceding generations, but for you and I. Number one, I pray that as a church, we will remain committed. We will remain committed to the inerrancy of Scripture, that we'll remain committed to the full counsel of the Word of the Lord. Amen. Salvation through the blood of Jesus and Jesus alone. There is no other name given among men whereby men must be saved. It is the name of Jesus. I pray as a church body, we will never shy away from the name of Jesus. I pray we will never accept an alternative way to be saved or another religion, but once and forever, we would always preach and believe and practice that salvation through the atoning blood of Jesus and Jesus alone for the atonement and the forgiveness of sin would always, always be preached and practiced from this pulpit, a sanctified life separated from the world and unto God, that holiness is the will of God in His pleasure for all generations, for all people of all times, that in an age of compromise, in an age of complacency, in an age where there are a lot of churches that have let down the standard and compromised, anybody glad this morning that you were still able to come to a holiness church? Anybody glad today that we're still lifting up that banner of holiness? Amen. That we still operate under that blood-stained banner, that we're a sanctified people, a separate people, that the Word of God still says that we should come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Let me challenge you, church, not just in preceding generations. It was great for Brother Butler's generation. It was great for Brother Addis's generation. It was great for Brother Rich's generation. It was great for my father's generation. It's right for my generation. It's right for every young married couple in this building today and every young person coming on, amen, it is holiness or hell. Amen. It is living separate from the world, separated unto God. Amen. That is God's plan. That is God's design, that we are a city set on a hill, that God's people do not look worldly, that God's people do not run with the world and just act like the world, but when we get saved, we're changed and transformed. That's not a legalistic gospel. That is the Bible, my friend. Amen. That is God's message, that we're changed, that we're different, that we're transformed by the word of God. Amen. Let sanctification always be preached from this pulpit. Let holiness always be preached from this pulpit. Not as a bully club to hurt people, but to show us the presence of God, that God is a holy God, that he gave us a holy book, that he abides in a holy city, and he sent his Holy Spirit to call out a holy people with a holy promise that we're going to a holy city one day. Amen. I'm glad to be a child of God. I'm glad to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let it always be preached from this pulpit, amen, that the Holy Ghost is for this generation, that secessionism is not part of God's plan, but God has a church that'll be Holy Ghost filled, that God has a church that'll be shouting and dancing when Jesus comes. He's not coming for a dead church. He's not coming for a lukewarm church. He is coming for a church that's full of the power and the glory of God. Amen. So let me give you the second challenge, and that is that you and I should be committed to the inspiration of worship, not just the inerrancy of Scripture, amen, but the inspiration of worship. I don't want to go to a dead church, amen. I don't want to go to a church where the power of God is not present. I don't want to go to a church where sinners aren't convicted and the lukewarm aren't challenged. I don't want to go to a church where Jesus isn't exalted and the folks of God aren't clapping and worshiping God. I want to be in the middle of a group of people that are glad to be saved and on the fire of God. Amen. They know what it's like to clap and lift their hands and worship God. That the Bresh Arbor days are still alive. And the good book says that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Anybody glad we can worship God today? Anybody glad we can sing? Anybody glad we can shout and dance and run and rejoice and lift up that name above every name? Let me tell you, friend, let me preach a little bit about that name. That name is ridiculed and that name is criticized. But that name, my friend, is attached to a man who lived 2,000 years ago, that lived a perfect life and died an atoning death. And they put him in a borrowed grave and they thought the story was over. But all this morning, let me say, I said he might have stayed dead all night Friday night, and he might have stayed all dead all day Saturday, and he might have stayed dead all day Saturday night. But early Sunday morning, I said early Sunday morning, I said early Sunday morning, he got up. He got up with all power over death, hell, and the grave. He got up with the keys, amen, to forgiveness and sin. He got up to atone us. He got up to heal us. He got up to baptize us. There's a name I love to sing. There's a name I love to preach. There's a name I love to shout. There's a name I love to worship. There's a name above every name. I haven't even said that name yet, but you know that name. I said that name is Jesus. He is my Redeemer. I said he is my Savior. He is my Justifier. I said he is my Sanctifier. Amen. Somebody ought to fall in love with that name this morning. Amen. Somebody ought to get saved today calling on that name. A backslider ought to come to this altar and say, in the name of Jesus, I want to start over. Oh, church, lift your hand and love God. Hallelujah. Thank God for that name, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Love him. Love him like you know he's alive. Love him like we're the church of the living God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, love him like we know there's work to do. Glory. Hallelujah. Let me give you the third challenge, and that is we need to be and remain committed to the intensity of service. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I look around, we got so much going on, so many outreaches, so many things God is doing right now. We've got to remain committed to that. There's a work that has to be done for the Lord. Get busy for God. If you're not in a place of service, find a place and get busy for the Lord. But let me challenge you, that will never, ever take the place of living a sanctified and a holy life. We must always, always find the balance between holiness and evangelism. There are those in preceding generations said you had to be one or the other. But I believe with all of our outreaches, we're showing this world you can believe in a holiness sanctified lifestyle, but still be evangelistic. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Does the good book still say, go ye into all the world? Yes. Let's fulfill it in Jesus' name. Let's get busy. Let's work for the Lord. Let's work for the Lord till Jesus comes. But if you're here today, friend, and you're not saved, we're coming to the altar in just a moment. It'd be a great day for you to get saved. I said, it'd be a great day for you to come to the Lord. Perfect attendance would make a pastor appreciations day. But I tell you what would be better than that. Somebody getting saved. Somebody giving their heart and their life to the Lord. Would you lift your hands one more time as we get ready to make an altar before God? Hallelujah. Father, send your power. Send your grace. Send your spirit. Send your anointing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory while the church is worshiping the Lord. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Friend, you want to come back to the Lord. You want to get saved right now. Hallelujah. We're opening this altar right now. I'm going to ask you to stand. Come meet me at this altar. Give your heart, your life back to the Lord. Amen. Start over again. Start over again. Let God give you power and grace to get free from sin. Find the joy of the Lord and the peace of God. Hallelujah. Quickly, quickly, before the church comes this morning, meet me at this altar. Say, today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable year. Right now, do it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Glory. Hallelujah. Father, give us a soul today. God, reclaim a life. Hallelujah. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, if you're grateful for that name above every name, would you come this morning, join with me around this altar? Come on, let's worship the Lord for a while. Come on, let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord.